Okay, for a dwarf prize, you know we've been giving out these mugs from our various national conventions. So I have a mug, the mug from 1978, along with I think they call these peeling potato gloves. And I guess I could be coerced to put in some cash, maybe $25. And that is going to go to, well, okay, it's going to go to me.
Okay. I don't know that she's ever drawn her own name before.
I have, but usually not this soon. So, okay. All right, Madam President, back to you.
All right. All right. The National Federation Blind of Illinois was given some equipment, slates, styluses, tape labelers, etc. They are free to anyone at the information table. Info, where are you? Anybody back there for info?
I'm back here.
There we go. Bill Reeves back there. Okay. We also still have red or tan hats. Okay, red or tan hat. See Kathy Randall. See Kathy Randall. Mary's got bags and playing cards. You know, it's always part of what we do to think about legislation. We've passed some pretty historic measures in the past. I think that we're working on some historic legislation now, especially the minimum wage bill. It's long time coming, and we're very pleased to have with us Rose Sloan. Y'all know she's here by now, and Annette Grove. Annette has been, how long have you been doing Washington Seminar, Annette?
Oh, longer than I want to admit.
Longer than she wants to admit, for those of you who didn't hear her. I remember at least 10 years, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Do you remember what your first year was going to Washington?
My first year, I think, was 78.
Wow. She predates me. Okay. So without further ado, who's going to take the lead on this? I guess Rose is up first. Annette is. All right, you want the podium? You got it.
Age.
Thank you.
You see, age does have its privileges, Mary, right?
This is true.
Okay, so I hear there's a big event on Tuesday. Anybody know what that is?
No,
elections! Anybody getting tired of, he's bad.
Email.
Okay, anybody getting any robocalls?
Oh yeah.
Okay. As much as I want to get this all over with, I got to tell you, we've got the best electoral system in the world. And put up with it, okay? But our electorate is only as good as we are informed and as we are committed. So how many of you are registered voters? Shout it out.
Yay!
Hey! How many of you have already voted?
Yay!
Hey! How many of you are going to vote Tuesday? Hey, that sounded like you're the same number, right? We get to vote twice in Illinois, I think. Okay. So you've already passed the first step of being a wonderful candidate for Washington Seminar. This is a process that we've had in place at the NFB for, I think, almost 40 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know, as I said, I didn't go to the first one, but I can remember the first one that I went to was still held at the Holiday Inn in Capitol Hill. It was very different then. And we had a little room, maybe small, about the size of this room. and there were less than 100 people there, but we did our thing. And Illinois was very well represented. So over the years, I've seen it grown to, we have 500 or so, how many rows?
At least
500 people now coming. So it's a wonderful opportunity to exercise your privilege to vote, but also then to have an input into the legislative process. And we've dealt with issues over the years that have been of great assistance to students, just as the TEACH bill is, to veterans, as we're working on the veterans' access, and to minimum wage or to employment opportunities for people who are blind or people with other disabilities. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And we'll be doing it again this year. The application is up on our website, the NFB of Illinois website. So please take a look at it. If you have questions, give Patty a call or Denise a call or me a call. We typically have 8 to 10 people that want to go and that are approved then to go. You do have to apply, but it's a wonderful, pretty much of a full 3-day experience in Washington. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I wanted to ask Bob Gardner. Is Bob in the room?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. If he can kind of give you some benefits that he has learned as he's been part of Washington Seminar, beyond just the being a good citizen piece. So, Bob, why don't you add your thoughts?
Okay. Is it okay if I use this mic here?
Anyone you like.
Okay. Well, let me go up to the lectern. Okay, well, we've heard a lot of things at this convention. We started out this morning with our national rep, Everly, talking about freedom, and we've talked about the scholarship winners talking about don't let people tell you you can't do whatever they think you can't do. Sean Whalen added some things along those lines also. So one of the things I think, we're going to talk a little bit more about the purpose of Washington Seminar. I think a lot of you already know what it is. But I want to come at it from a slightly different angle. One of the things that we do when we go to Washington, D.C., is we start out here in Naperville, for example, and we have to get to the airport, and we have to get on a plane or a train. And we go to Washington, and we go to the hotel, and then we have to go to Capitol Hill and the Senate buildings, and we got to find Congressman Jones in 503 in the Cannon building. And what are we demonstrating? We're demonstrating to everybody that we've come in contact with that we, people from the National Federation of the Blind, are competent and that we do have the freedom to do this. When we go into a congressman's office or a senator's office, we're asking usually for some kind of legislation that would help us with equal opportunity or something along those lines. We're trying to tell them that we're from the National Federation of the Blind. We believe in people working. We believe in people having a full life. And by the fact that we're sitting there in their office, shows them that we are competent people, that we are worthy of having this kind of legislation. We're not there with somebody sighted having taken us there. We don't have people guiding us around, sighted people guiding us around. So I think that's one of the things that we demonstrate is freedom. And who else do we demonstrate our freedom to? Ourselves, exactly. I think one of the things that I have taken away from Washington Seminar, besides the wonderful experience of promoting the political issues important to our organization, is that feeling that, yes, I was able to do this, that I was able to get from my home, clerk on the, you know, on the other side of the state to Washington, and I ended up in Senator Durkin's office, or you know, or whatever. Senator Durbin. What am I saying, Durkin? Senator Dirksen. I'm not quite that old. But anyway, my Congresswoman Bustos, you know, I'm in her office, and the fact that I was able to do that and get back has always had a big impact on me. And I've seen it with other people that have gone, you know, that if you're thinking of going to Washington seminar and you think, I cannot, you know, how could I do this? How could I ever do this? I've seen people go to Washington seminar who said, I don't even know how I could even fly there by myself. But flying there is just the beginning. You know, you got to get from the airport to the hotel, and you got to get your baggage, and you got to find your room, and you got to find a place to eat, and you got to figure out how do I get to the Longworth building, and all this sort of stuff. But when you come back, I think, I know I always feel like my confidence as a blind person, my self-esteem as a blind person has always been elevated. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it with other people too. Absolutely. You go there and you're thinking, oh, I don't know how I'm going to ever do this. And when you come back, you just feel like you're about a foot taller than when you started out. So if you're ever thinking about going to Washington seminar and you think you can't do it, think the other way. Think about getting out of that comfort zone. If you feel like it's going to get you out of your comfort zone, you probably should do it. If that's not within your comfort zone, it will be not only a benefit for our organization, for you to present to your congresswoman or congressman or your senator the issues that are important to us, but it's going to end up being important to you as a blind person. You'll come back a much more self-confident, self-reliant blind person. Thank you.
Yeah, we work, as I said, there's usually about 10 of us there, and we work as a very close-knit group. So we usually have a balance of people who've maybe never been there, maybe need to practice their skills a little bit more than others, but we're all there to work together and really to stretch our experiences. And we haven't lost anybody yet on the Metro. We came close one night. But anyway, it's been fun. So do think about it. I'm going to turn it over to Rose. Rose is going to give us a brief update on the Veterans Bill and the TEACH Bill, and then spend a little bit more time on fair wages. So listen carefully to the fair wages bill, because when she finishes, we want to break into our tables and do some further discussion of that bill, and then maybe do a mock interview at that table so you can kind of practice. It's not as scary as it sounds. So anxious to hear what Rose has to say.
Thanks, Annette, for that wonderful introduction. I have to actually disagree with something you said. I might argue, and you know, this might be a little egotistical of me, but I think you lost me at Washington Seminar because I no longer come with the Illinois delegation. No, I say it all in to be funny.
You're here today.
True. I can't just stay away because I love Illinois. But anyway, Washington Seminar, greatest experience ever. I encourage everyone to do it. Washington Seminar led me to my current line of employment, and I couldn't be happier. Now, yeah. So a quick update on the three legislative issues. I think you guys have already heard probably two or three times now about the TEACH bill. So I'm just going to let you know that the TEACH bill, or HR 3505, has 52 co-sponsors. And congratulations to Lauren on all that she has done on this bill, because about, let's say, two-thirds of those are Democrats and about one-third are Republicans. And Republicans sometimes are tough to get, but because they are the majority party, we're really trying to push for Republicans on that bill. From Illinois, we have Quigley and Kelly, who have signed on, two Democrats. So those of you who live in the Republican districts, I know there's not many in Illinois, but those of you who do live in those districts, really please encourage members of Congress to come on to HR 3505. Also, kudos to Lauren, because Teach has a Senate bill as well, S-2060. That bill is sponsored by Senator Warren from Massachusetts, and she also has a Republican colleague, Mr. Hatch from Utah, who was an original co-sponsor as well. That bill has 5 co-sponsors, so please ask Mr. Durbin and Mr. Kirk to sign on to Teach. Moving on to the other bill, this is the Space Available Bill, and I'm happy to announce that this bill has already passed out of the House. So that's very good. Yay. But it is still in the Senate, and there are 18 co-sponsors of S-346. However, Mr. Durbin and Mr. Kirk are 2 senators who are not yet on this bill. So just as a quick explanation, you're like, space available, what's that? So space available is a program in which retired veterans can ride on military aircraft if there is space available. However, 100% service-disabled veterans are not on the list of people who can ride if space is available on military aircraft. We want to change that with this bill. It's really a no-brainer. It was overlooked. So just remember to ask Senators Kirk and Durbin to please sign on to S-346. Now, the piece of legislation that I deal with every day is the Fair Wages for Workers with Disabilities Act, or H.R. 831. I have to say good job to Illinois, because we have 7 representatives signed on to this bill. But you knew the butt was coming, right? We have a lot more to go. So, you know, we already mentioned in our resolution who was signed on to the bill, but I want to take a moment just to remind you of who is not signed on the bill. And Illinois is a different state. The normal route would be to go after as many Republicans as you can in the House, because they are the majority party. But my strategy for the state of Illinois... So every other state listening, you know, cover your ears for a couple seconds, because these are special directions for Illinois, is I want to go after the Democrats in the House, and this is why. Senator Durbin is one of the most senior members in the Senate, and if we can show him that every single Democrat in the House is enthusiastic about this issue, then perhaps he would be more likely to be the Senate sponsor. And we've had meetings with his office. I really, truly believe that this could happen. So the 4 Democrats that we are missing are Schneider, Danny Davis, Lipinski, and Gutierrez. There's no reason why these representatives aren't on this bill. And just for an update, we are up to 97 co-sponsors. No applause. No applause. I want at least 100 by the time this Congress is over. So there's 4 Democrats in Illinois. Go get them. Go get them. Okay. Let's see. So now to go more into substantive discussion about H.R. 831, the Fair Wages for Workers with Disabilities Act. It is sponsored by Congressman Greg Harper from the state of Mississippi. And he is the father of an adult child with Fragile X syndrome. He understands in a real way why people with disabilities deserve fair wages. Most of you may know that in 1938, the Fair Labor Standards Act was passed. And one section of that law, 14C, says that entities can apply for special wage certificates. And with these certificates, they can then pay people with disabilities less than the minimum wage. H.R. 831 will responsibly phase out this practice over a 3-year period. I also wanted to make one distinction about H.R. 831. I think some people, in passing, refer to H.R. 831 as a minimum wage bill. However, especially in the House, where it's controlled by the Republicans, we want to stay away from that rhetoric. And this is why. And this is the argument, all right? There is minimum wage, and if there's going to be one at all, it should apply to everyone. This bill is about equality. Yes, a fair wage. So just a little bit more background on the bill. There are 75 organizations who are in agreement with the National Federation of the Blind that Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act needs to be repealed. There are plenty of examples out there of entities that have already transitioned from entities that used to rely on subminimum wage certificates to one that no longer needs it. Earlier on in this convention, we heard from the Chicago Lighthouse, and they are one of the best examples of an entity that was struggling when they paid people with disabilities subminimum wages and now are striving. In the state of Maryland, there is a place called Melwood, and they employ over 700 individuals with disabilities, varying disabilities, not just blind people, people with developmental disabilities too. And they used to pay some of their employees less than the minimum wage, but once the new CEO stepped in, she decided, look, I think this is wrong, and I want our company to be better represented, and so we are going to pay all of our employees, disabled or not, the minimum wage or more. Finally, I just want to remind you that there are so many alternative techniques out there so that people with disabilities can perform jobs just as well as people without disabilities. Please keep in mind that you have to, you know, as a blind person going to Washington Seminar, for example, just showing the members of Congress that, hey, these are competent people, these are employable people, really helps them understand why H.R. 831 is really feasible. Sometimes people might look at you and say, well, there's just some people with disabilities out there who are just too disabled. They're not able to work. I don't know if they even deserve a minimum wage. False. Absolutely false. There are so many different techniques out there, whether it's customized employment, where you adjust the job so that the person with a disability does what they are able to do. And trust me, that can help in a business a lot, because just having that person with disabilities doing certain tasks frees up other people in the entity so that they can better perform their jobs, therefore making the company more efficient. There is another way, such as micro businesses. There was a man who had a developmental disability and was illiterate, but he loved to shred paper. So he made a micro business in which he contracted to other businesses that needed stuff shredded, and he did it for a fee. But he not only was good at what he did, but there was an extra layer of security, right? Because he was illiterate, there was no security worries whatsoever. So just keep in mind the stories that I've given you. Keep in mind the individuals you know who are successfully employed. And when you're talking to your members of Congress, when you're calling them, when you're writing them emails, when you're writing them snail mail, when you're talking to your mock senator today, remind them of why H.R. 831 is important to you and make it personal. I'll be around all convention if you have any questions, and I really look forward to this exercise we're about to do. Here's Annette to give you some more details.
Then I go to the Senate, and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm just
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, okay. So we have some esteemed congressmen and senator women in the room. Hopefully they're in the room. And what we want to do is to make sure that each table, I think there's about 9 or 10 tables that have people at them. Now, some of you maybe have one or two people at the table, so if you don't want to do all the talking at this exercise, you might want to move next door so that there's more than one at the table, okay? Otherwise, you're on the spot. All right. So let me introduce to you our esteemed congressional delegation, and each of them will find their way to a table to answer questions about fair wages and then to practice how you might present your case or our case to that esteemed congressman. So we have Patty Chang. We've got Dave Meyer, Jamal Powell. All right, find a table, Jamal. Bob Gardner, Rose, oh, you know, don't be afraid of Rose. I mean, it's like having the president at your table. All right. Brianna, are you in here, Brianna? Okay, then. Mary. Mary, you're up. Bill is there, Bill Reif. And Glenn, I saw him. Kathy, did I see you in the room? Yeah. You've done this before, so if you wanna be the Senator Randall, that's fine with me. Okay, so we've got about 10, 15 minutes to discuss at the table, to practice, and then we'll just wrap it up so we can be finished and on schedule at 2:45.